Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and just me. Father McKay is still enjoying the last day of his vacation today at the Jersey Shore. He will be returning home later this evening and joining us for Mass tomorrow morning. So for the next hour, it'll be just me. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, I'm going to be joined by guest Dan Burke, an author who I've been looking forward to this interview since it was originally scheduled back in June. He's written a fantastic book that our Calyx group just happened to finish last night, Otter God. But should be a good day today. Hope you'll stick around for as much of the 2 hours as you possibly can. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. Both your prayerful and financial support that has kept us on the air for over 40 years and allows me to be here on Wednesdays and do this thing that I never thought I would be doing. And it's hard to believe now it's going on 10 years that Father and I have been together here on Wednesdays, and I guess some 12 or 13 years altogether. And just blessed to be a part of this great radio apostolate. Father McKay, when he's here, and I are a part of Warehouse Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. If you would like to sponsor this show, you can go to our website, ourhouseministries.org, and click on the donate button, and there's an option there to sponsor this particular show on any given Wednesday. Would love to have your financial support if you can. If not, we certainly understand. Also encourage you to subscribe to my Substack account. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. For those that are watching on Facebook, I got my Not Saints Yet t-shirt on today. Would love to have you subscribe either as a free subscriber, or if you can find it in your heart to support it financially, that'd be great. But what I do is every Thursday post the highlights and links to this show. They're always on inhissign.com as well. Click on content and then podcasts. But I also publish another article or two each week, depending on what's going on. Speaking of money, one of the great ways you can support us is through our golf outing. It's just 2 weeks from this past Monday, October the 14th. We're going to return to Tallamore Country Club. And we always get great weather somehow or other, especially in the fall. I played in an outing on last Friday with my son-in-law and a couple other guys, and man, we got drenched. And for whatever reason, they should probably get Kathleen to come out and sponsor their outing. But anyway, we always have a great day. Golf starts at noon. We'll have lunch before golf, dinner after golf. We have a silent auction. Great fellowship, a lot of priests that can come out, and hopefully they'll make it again this year. I would ask to keep all of our priests in prayer, working closely with Father McKay and watching some of the activity that's going on in the Archdiocese around our priests. We've had another one pass away suddenly, Father Grogan, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, there's not enough priests to go around. So rather than get reassign an associate or a parochial vicar from one parish and make them pastor, they're doubling up. And I just saw Father Charles Locke, who's the pastor at St. Raymond's, is now going to also serve as the parochial vicar pro tem, I think is his title, over at Holy Cross. And so keep all these priests in prayer, please. They're going to get stretched thinner and thinner unless vocations all of a sudden takes a dramatic increase. So whatever we can do to support them in our parishes, relieve the workload a little bit if we can, and just help them and free up some time, because they're going to be busy. So, again, one of the ways you can help us, though, here at Innocent Catholic Radio is through our golf outing. That's going to take place, again, October 14th on our website, innocentsign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there to download a flyer. It has information on how to register to play golf. If you want to come just for dinner, you can do that as well. Instructions are there. And most importantly, if you can sponsor a hole or the lunch or the dinner, all those sponsorship activities are also documented in that flyer. Again, whatever you can do to help us out will be greatly appreciated. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in the St. Gabriel's Church in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It opens up following daily mass at 8:30 and usually open until about 4:30 in the afternoon. On Tuesdays, we've resumed having adoration at 3 o'clock, followed by Matt Talbot prayers and benediction at 4 o'clock. On Thursdays, we pray the rosary at 4 o'clock, again, before the shrine closes. We've been letting you know the plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's passing, which will take place next June 2025. We're putting together a pilgrimage to Ireland. I'll let you know as soon as we have the details. But we also want to make a feature-length film, and we've got some information at matttalbotfilm.com. If you want to take a look and see what the project's all about. Upcoming events. The past events. The Matt Talbot Women's Retreat was a couple of weeks ago. The Rachel's Vineyard Retreat last week. And I've gotten wonderful reviews of both. So I want to thank those who attended and those who prayed for the folks that were attending. They were both a huge success. And I'd like to think that this radio apostolate had a little bit to do with that, so thank you. Coming up this week on Friday, it's the first Friday of October, October the 4th, in addition to being the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi. It's also First Friday, so there'll be Mass at 7:30 a.m. in the Family Life Center out at Malvern, followed by a breakfast. During breakfast, they'll have a number of tables and people have face sharing. And then kick in a couple of bucks for your breakfast if you can. And I think I actually have a date to be there this coming Friday. So I hope to see you there. I think that's it in the way of announcements for now. So we'll begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. Our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us, and all the saints and angels, pray for us. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially once your calls as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. We'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back, but can't have it without you. So we'll give out those numbers again before we go to the break. We're currently in the 26th week in Ordinary Time, and a full slate of saints and more than just a full slate, but a bunch of heavy hitters, if you will. On Sunday the 29th, we celebrated Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the Archangels. On Monday the 30th, St. Jerome, priest and doctor of the church. On Tuesday the 1st, St. Therese of the Child Jesus, better known as the Little Flower, virgin and doctor of the church. Today, the 2nd of October, we celebrate the Holy Guardian Angels. On Thursday, the 4th, St. Francis of Assisi. And on Saturday, the 5th, we have two, St. Faustina Kowalska, Virgin, best known for Divine Mercy. And here in the United States, we also celebrate Blessed Francis Xavier Silos, a priest. And since it is the Feast of the Guardian Angels, I think we're going to start with today's gospel. From Mass, I had the pleasure of getting over to St. Rita's Shrine for Mass at noon today. And a great homily again by Father Bob Gassetto. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a second here. But the gospel at Mass was taken from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 5 and verse 10. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called over a child, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And interesting gospel. And when we read Scripture and we go back over the same passages and they always find something a little bit different or something different jumps out at us. And, you know, sometimes people want to claim that our Protestant brothers and sisters know the Scriptures better than we do, and that may be in some cases. But we were talking last night at our Calyx meeting about frequent celebration of the Eucharist, going to Mass as often as we can, frequent confession, etc. We'll talk more about that in the 5 o'clock hour. But if you happen to get the daily Mass over the course of 3 years between the Sunday readings and the daily readings, you get an awful lot of Scripture. And one of the things that I've tried to practice recently is reading the readings for the following day, either the night before or first thing in the morning, so I'm better prepared when I get to Mass. And in today's Gospel, that last line, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." And I think sometimes in this gospel we'll pay more attention to the first half of it, you know, when Jesus presents the child and talks about how important it is to be like a child and to take care of these children. But that line today where it says, "I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father," you know, you have to believe that having a guardian angel is such a gift that you know, you can't put a price tag on it. And for a long time, I, you know, had forgotten that I had a guardian angel, and rarely, if ever, acknowledged that angel. And I remember when I came back to the faith and kind of got rekindled and remembered, but it really wasn't until I hooked up with Father McKay and Calyx, and especially with the ministry, we often pray that the Angel of God prayer, "Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and guide. Amen." And I try to offer that prayer each morning, and knowing that my guardian angel is going to be with me. And even if we ignore them, God has still assigned them to us. And, you know, how many times have things happened over the course of our lives that we think were a coincidence or we don't have a real good explanation for, whether it's a thought that comes to mind, whether it's a sudden impulse that we may have. I know if Father McKay was on, he would tell the story about being in Ireland and, you know, they drive on the opposite side of the road. So, you know, when you go to cross the street here in the States, you would look left and then right. And normally, because the traffic would be coming from the left in most situations, first, they'd be the traffic closest to you. And he looked left and then right. And unfortunately, after he looked left, didn't think anything was coming and went to step and step out and actually felt something pull him back. Guardian angel? Probably. But I think about all the things that I had done in my life, you know, driving a car perhaps when I shouldn't have, or doing things or being in places that I probably wouldn't recommend to most people. And somehow or other, I've made it out alive and managed not to kill anybody else. And so I have to believe that there was a guardian angel that was looking out for me. There's a line thrown around once in a while that God looks out for babies and drunks. And, you know, whether it's God directly or that guardian angel, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And so it was interesting today because, like I said, I got over to St. Rita's for Mass and got there a little bit early, prayed the rosary. And I'm in a group text with a bunch of family members. I think there's about 19 of us. It's my siblings and in-laws, and then all of my kids, my nieces and nephews. And usually it's a happy birthday that'll get things started or, you know, a joke of some sort. But today it started with my niece's birthday. Happy birthday, Madison. But when I was at St. Rita's, I know we shouldn't take out our phone and be texting in Mass, but I did. And I reminded everybody that today was the Feast of the Guardian Angels and to, you know, take a minute to, you know, wish them a happy feast day and then share the Guardian Angel prayer, the Angel of God prayer, and then let them know that I would be thinking about them at Mass. And it was interesting because initially I was like, I had it all typed out and kind of reluctant to hit that send. We're not always on the, you know, the whole family's not on the same page when it comes to the religion or the faith. And it, you know, it was just hit send anyway and let the chips fall where they may. And I didn't get anything negative back, a couple positives. And so they better watch out because they'll probably be getting more in the near future, at least until something negative comes back, which may happen. But I bring that up because we don't know. Often we're afraid to share our faith and afraid to talk about what we believe in and the things that we do because we don't know what the reaction is going to be of the people that we share it with. And I'm getting to the point now where I don't care. You know, it's just, I don't force it down anybody's throat. I don't hit them over the head with it. But we share these little tidbits and we don't know who it's going to affect and how it's going to affect them. My niece in particular, you know, gave me a thank you, Uncle Ken. And that's all that really matters, you know? And, they are such a gift. And what struck me in the gospel is the fact that Jesus, so this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus says that our angels are in front of God the Father all the time. All the time. Not once in a while. They don't venture out of heaven and come down to earth for a while and then go back and report back. They're able to bilocate, if you will, and be in front of the beatific vision with our Heavenly Father and with us at the same time. That also means that anything that we need, and as long as it's in accordance with God's will, our guardian angel is right there in front of God the Father to ask Him for it for us. Again, you know, these great intercessors that we have in our Catholic faith, you know, between our guardian angel, our Blessed Mother, it doesn't get any better than that. And it's just good to be Catholic because, like I say, a lot of times, you know, these are things that those that broke away from the church, you know, some 500 years ago are kind of missing out on. And I know for me, it makes my life a whole lot easier. What I also shared with my family was, you know, something I learned a while back, and I'm not quite sure where I picked it up from, but it was this idea that when we do our exam in the night before, you know, at night before we go to bed, if that's when we do it, you know, the last step of that prayer is to look at what we're going to do the next day and to make our spiritual appointments. You know, if we're daily communicants, are we going to be able to get the Mass first thing in the morning? Like today was one of those days where I couldn't get there first thing in the morning, but found, you know, a place, an opportunity to go at noontime. But also to look at our regular, you know, our human calendar, if you will, and you know, what's going to be happening at work. What are we going to be doing socially? Perhaps if you're going out this evening, or who are we going to encounter or bump into again, whether it's at work or on the social scene. And sometimes when we do that, we can actually dread waking up the next morning because we're going to have a meeting with a particular person that we don't get along with, or maybe somebody that we've butted heads with in the past. And the trick that I learned, and I've shared it often, is that as we go through the calendar for the next day to send out our guardian angel on reconnaissance to meet up with the guardian angels of all the people that we're going to meet, and have them smooth over any rifts, have them get together first and set it up so things go smoothly. And more often than not, and I can think of very few occasions where I've done that and it hasn't worked out. And, you know, just scenarios that you absolutely dread going into can be completely smoothed over and worked out long before if we allow our guardian angel to do the job that God has given him. And the people that I've shared it with have often come back and told me that it has that it's worked for them. And so I encourage you to incorporate that in your prayer life. That in the morning we pray the Angel of God prayer to say good morning to our guardian angel and have them be with us all day. And then in the evening, before we go to bed, perhaps to thank them for any helps that they may have given us during the day, and then to help us in advance with anything that we're going to participate in the following day. You know, the other thing is, you know, like I said, for a period in my life, over 10 years, you know, I was in passive mode when it came to the guardian angel. And it's only in hindsight that I can look back and know that there was some source out there that was doing something for me. I believe it was my guardian angel and, you know, looking out for me and, you know, obviously doing the same for you. I mentioned Father Bob, who offered Mass this morning or at noon at St. Rita's. Also had the real good pleasure of having him as a confessor on Monday. Again, frequent confession. But he shared in his homily today, you know, the first line of the creed where I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in things visible and invisible. And, you know, so many people walk around today and on this planet and only think about the visible and what they can see. You know, if science can't prove it, if technology can't prove it, then it doesn't exist for them. And, you know, we say it every Sunday, sometimes more often, depending on the feast day at daily Mass. But in that creed, that, you know, we believe God created everything, and that included the visible and invisible. And the invisible would include the angels, and not just our guardian angels that we celebrate today. We have the archangels that we celebrated on Sunday. Father McKay was here. I'm sure we'd be talking a lot about the archangels, perhaps in the second segment. We may touch on them then as well. But this whole realm that we can't see, but is right here with us. And I think I've shared about it before, but I remember when good friends of ours suffered the loss of a child, and Kathleen McCarthy, I was in touch with her, and she went to visit the mother and father. And one of the things that my friend shared with me after Kathleen had paid them a visit was that, you know, Kathleen had told them that if they knew how thin the veil was between us and heaven and us and the eternity, that we probably or might not grieve as much as we do. And that's that invisible world. And I think about that often, that you know, that veil that's there. You know, it actually comes down once in a while. Father McKay talks about it often at Mass. That's you know, the veil really comes down at that point when Jesus comes to us in the Eucharist. And you know, what a great gift that is to have that sacrament. I remember when my mother passed, and the first Sunday that I was in church after her funeral, and you know, feeling like she was sitting right beside me. And so many others have shared stories about, you know, how thin that veil is. But just in the last couple of minutes before we go to the break, you know, the other thing that's going on in that invisible area is spiritual warfare. And I am far, far, far from an expert on spiritual warfare, other than to say that I know it exists, that I've experienced it in my own mind, in my own body, in my immediate surroundings, and that there's a war goes on. Sometimes it's just between the ears, you know, the thoughts that come that the demons or Satan place there, the visions that that come back to me of things that I've done in the past, you know, Satan trying to bring up my future and me reminding him, or Satan bringing up my past, rather, and me bringing up his future. But I have to remember to do that. It's so easy to sometimes slip into old behaviors and old thoughts and start to feel that shame and guilt for the things that we've done in the past, even though they've been confessed and made penance for, and, you know, basically wipe the slate clean. But that doesn't prevent the demons and Satan from bringing them up. And I bring it up because I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lengthy conversation with somebody that was in recovery and was really going through it. And it, we don't talk about it a whole lot in 12-step rooms, is this notion of spiritual warfare. And, you know, when we're doing Satan's bidding, when we're leading, you know, lives that are more sinful than virtuous, you know, Satan doesn't have a whole lot to care about. He can, you know, send his minions elsewhere to try to draw off people that are already on the path. Meanwhile, we just continue to, you know, wreak havoc everywhere we go. But we make that turn and we stop participating in whatever it is that we're addicted to, alcohol, drugs, shopping, eating, anything that we put before God. When we make that turn towards God, all of a sudden, you know, the ears on Satan and his minions are going to perk up and say, "Uh-oh, wait a minute. You know, somebody's, you know, moving from one path to the other. We got to do something about that." And there's things that we can do. And, you know, the idea of frequent confession, getting to Mass as often as we can, praying without ceasing, as St. Paul says, you know, all day long, whether it's intentional or just by the life that we lead, but to be in constant communication with God and the Blessed Mother, our guardian angel, the saints, you know, whoever it is that we may have a devotion to, that they can help us in that battle. But if we don't know we're in a battle, we may chalk it up to other things, and it can cause you know, some major problems in our lives. And maybe we can pick up with that some more after we come back from the break. But I do want to have that Is That Odd or Is That God segment. In order to do that, I need your phone calls. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll free at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith? The biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston. My friend, Father McKay, is on vacation. Last day today. I'll be home tonight, and will be back on the radio with me next week. And I just ask you to keep Father in your prayers. I'll give out the phone numbers again, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. Quick rundown of the upcoming Calyx meetings here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Calyx is a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I and a whole bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We start with 6 o'clock Mass and have a Calyx meeting afterwards. On the third Tuesday of the month, we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour followed by Mass. That all takes place in St. Gabriel's Church in October. That'll be on Tuesday, October the 15th. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month in the Parish Center. They will meet tomorrow night, Thursday, October the 3rd. Again, that's 7 o'clock. The Glenside unit at St. Luke the Evangelist, my home parish, meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by our Calyx meeting. The meeting in October will be on October the 19th. The unit at Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. The third Sunday in October will be October the 20th. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They will meet on Saturday, October the 26th. Sometimes I'll make you aware of a Calyx group that was meeting in Wilmington, Delaware. Due to the drop-off in numbers and some issues with Father Hazard, he's an older guy and unfortunately had a fall a couple of weeks ago. So that unit in Wilmington is going to stop meeting in person for the time being. But we also have online meetings for Calyx 7 days a week, often twice a day. If that's something you might be interested with, and you can always get in touch with me at Ken, K-E-N, at inhissign.com. That's K-E-N at inhissign.com, and be more than happy to pass along that information. I hope to have all the recordings for the prior shows up on the website by noontime tomorrow, and I'll be working on them this evening. You can always find them at inhissign.com. Click on content and then podcasts. So we do have one caller on the line. We're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob. Bob, I can't hear you. Hey, Bob. Not sure where he's at. He's down in Fruitland Park, Florida, if it's the same Bob. And fortunately, was completely missed by Helene. I ask you to continue to keep the folks that were in the path of that hurricane in your prayers. I know my sister's in-laws were in Asheville, North Carolina, and got hit pretty hard. My wife's cousin in Greenville, South Carolina, also got hit hard. So continue to keep them in your prayers. All right, let him go. We'll see if he calls back. The biggest otter guide I have this week is the guest that we're going to have in the 5 o'clock hour. I did get confirmation right before the 4 o'clock show to let me know that Dan Burke will be joining us. And initially we were supposed to have him on back on June the 5th, and unfortunately he was ill and couldn't join us. But when I got an advanced copy of the book, it's called Finding Peace in the Storm, Reflections on St. Afonsus Liguori's Uniformity with God's Will. And I was familiar with St. Afonsus' treatise, but Dan managed to put a great, not a spin, but a wrap context around the writing and made it more palatable, if you will, as well as suggestions on how to, proceed in the spiritual life along these lines of getting our own will, our human will, in line with God's will. And so because of, for those of us that are in 12-step programs, we have an 11th step that tells us that, really our goal in life should be to discern what God's will is for us and then pray for the power to do whatever it is that God's asking us to do. And so anytime the topic of God's will comes up, I usually at least take a glance at it. And so it was probably 15 years or so ago where I had found St. Alphonsus' treatise, Uniformity with God's Will, and had read it. I had passed out copies to some of my recovery friends. And I got a lot out of it then. And then when this book came out and I read the book, I thought this is perfect for Calyx. And so for the last couple of months in our Calyx meeting, we've been reading this book. And we just happened to finish it last night. So for my Calyx friends that have been participating in this for the last couple of months, if you have questions, I'm sure during the 5 o'clock hour, we'll be able to open up the phone lines and take calls with Dan Burke. But the otter guide is that, we just finished the book last night, and now we're going to have the author on in the 5 o'clock hour. That's never happened in the 9+ years that I've been doing this show. So I somehow or other God's managed in the last couple of months to allow me the time to delve into some of these books that I've had the ability to interview the authors with. And this one in particular, I'm really looking forward to. So say a little prayer that between now and 5 o'clock, old Red Legs doesn't perk up and find a way to bring the technology down or do something that will prevent us from having Dan on the show. But definitely looking forward to that. Before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about spiritual warfare. And I see the phone's ringing again, but this conversation that I had with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, you know, it was really in the throes of it. And this was somebody that was a Christian, perhaps, but not Catholic, came into recovery and decided around this time last year that he wanted to be Catholic. And he came into the church, not on Easter Sunday, but a couple of weeks after, because of scheduling and the priest he was working with allowed it. And unfortunately, you know, really ran into some issues, doubting his own faith, doubting the existence of God. And so we had a lengthy conversation, you know, and, you know, the gist of it was him asking me, you know, do I ever doubt that God exists? And, you know, even in, you know, where I am today, it's not so much that I doubt, it's as much as you wonder where God is in certain situations. And, you know, how many times have we heard it asked, you know, if God's really out there, how does he allow these horrific things to happen? How do, you know, the hurricane that we just had over the weekend, how does God allow something like that to happen? And, you know, frankly, you know, you think about what was going on before Noah's time or during Noah's time and what God did then, and look at what's going on in the world today. I think it's far worse. Maybe a hurricane is not so bad compared to what happened with Noah, but, you know, these things can bring doubt into our minds and into our thoughts, and hopefully they're fleeting thoughts. Because we know that truly God is out there. I know that God is truly out there. There's no other explanation for so many things that have happened in my own life and that I get to watch happen in other people's lives because of the situations that God allows me to be in. But that doubt can come, especially for those that are newly back to the faith or especially in this current age where, you know, people are being brought up with no faith at all. You know, the sorry state where people will, you know, parents will think that they're better off not baptizing their kids and letting them make a decision, you know, when they get older. And, you know, by then, is it too late? I don't know. But we're seeing more and more people in 12-step programs that have not been brought up in any faith. And then they find out that their only way out is through a relationship with God. And, you know, the next question is, well, what's a God? And so the spiritual warfare then, it really can be intense, because if you have no idea, you know, who or what God is, and then you start making a turn based on what other people are telling you, if you don't hear about, you know, the warfare side, the battle that goes on, you may be really at a loss when it comes to, you know, staying on the path. And it looks like our good friend Bob has called back, so we're going to go to Bob. Hello, bud.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
We make a cutoff because my phone keeps switching over to the Bluetooth speaker that's back in the house. I came out away from it.
Get rid of the speaker then. Throw it in the water there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm close enough to the water, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't listen to the news, so the day after the hurricane, I came outside, I said, oh, we got nothing, but I guess the rest of Florida got buried.
Yeah, parts of it anyway.
Today,
yeah.
The Feast of the Guardian Angels, my father's birthday, so I consider this to be his feast day also, because as Father Doug said, there's a lot more saints than the canonized saints, you know?
Got that right. So
I consider my father to be a saint, you know, and I will actually pray to him. And it's...
Oh, he flipped the Bluetooth. Unplug it, turn it off. But what Bob's referring to there when he says that there's more, you know, saints in heaven that aren't canonized than are. And that happens to come from the little flower, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, whose feast day we celebrated on Monday. You know, and that was, you know, based on, you know, her certainly not thinking that, you know, that she was a saint. And, you know, it comes up with the little way and, you know, lived in a, you know, a Carmelite monastery, Carmelite convent for the last 8 years of her life, age 16 to 24. And it was interesting. Again, we had the same priest at St. Rita's Shrine on Monday for Mass. I think it was Monday. Yeah. He was talking about, you know, here's a young girl who never gets out of the monastery, and yet she's the patron of missionaries. She always wanted to be a missionary, and obviously she wasn't one in her earthly existence, but is certainly one today, and she even became a patron of the missions. And, again, she may have been a soul that nobody would have been aware of had she not kept a journal, and which would later be published as the Diary of a Soul, or something along those lines. I can't think of the exact name of it off the top of my head. And where she kind of laid out everything that was going on in her own life, and she just had that simple way, that little way to do little things with great love. And we've talked about that in the 5 o'clock hour a number of times over the past few months. And it's even the name of the 5 o'clock show, which I inherited from Kathleen, What the World Needs Now. And, that old song, and I'm not going to sing it for you, but, What the World Needs Now is Love. All the world needs now is love. And, we change it one person at a time by, exuding and showing our own love. And that can only happen through a relationship with God. We need to experience God's love in order to, share that love with others. It's one of the things we talk about on the last Wednesday of the month with the gift of the divine will. And when we're immersed in God's will and living his will and not our will, we're living that love. And again, it's far from easy to do. I've shared with folks in the past, how I don't mind normally driving the Schuylkill. I do it at least 4 days, sometimes 5 days a week. And, if traffic gets backed up, it's an extra decade of the rosary. If it's really backed up, it could be a second rosary or listen to a good podcast that I've wanted to listen to. But it doesn't throw me for a loop. However, people cutting me off in traffic normally doesn't throw me for a loop, but it's like six times since Friday. I was driving up to the mountains on Friday night with my wife in my wife's car, stopped at a light, and there was just enough room between me and the car in front of me for a car to fit through. And just as the light turned green, I go to take my foot off the brake, and before I hit the gas, pickup truck drives right in front of me between the two cars. I thought I hit the brake in time when we eventually pulled over and took a look, and put a nice scratch in the bumper. And I wasn't nearly as upset as my wife was, but I haven't had something like that happen in quite a while. And then on Monday, coming home from work, I have somebody, one of those famous things that people like to do now. You're in you have two lanes going your way. I'm in the right lane waiting to make a right-hand turn. And somebody comes up on the left lane and tries to make a right turn in front of me. And, you know, thank God he did it as soon as the light turned green, because I had no idea that that was going to happen. And then last night, coming off the Schuylkill, getting on the Lincoln Drive, you know, you got the left lane loops around the Kelly Drive, and the right lane goes on the Lincoln Drive. And the person that was initially in front of me had gotten in that far left lane like they were going to wrap around Kelly Drive. And normally people coming off the Schuylkill don't do that. And sure enough, there was inches, maybe even centimeters before Lincoln Drive that he decided that he was going to cut me off. And it was probably the second time yesterday, and maybe the fifth or sixth time since Monday. And I don't know, you know, maybe old Satan's rattling around in the heads of these drivers, but normally I never experience this. And it's been five or six times since Friday now that I've been cut off in traffic. And so all to say that it is, no matter how far down the path you are, you could be going to going to Mass every day, going twice a day, going to confession every week, every couple of weeks, and these things still happen. And I don't know so much that, you know, God causes it as much as he allows it. And again, it's just a reminder that, you know, these things are still going to happen, no matter where we are in the spiritual life. These kind of things are going to happen, and we need to, you know, constantly be on guard, not only when we're behind the wheel of a car, but all the time, because we're, you know, how many people do we know that have gotten blindsided by things, whether it's a sudden illness, sudden death, and, you know, can really, really, really knock us for a loop. But the closer that we are to God, and that's why we need to remain close, hopefully the less impact that it has. And, you know, for my friends in recovery, especially those that may be early in recovery, you know, this is where, you know, time does make a difference. A lot of times we'll hear in 12-step meetings that, you know, whoever got up earliest this, you know, that day has the most time. And, that time doesn't matter, you know, it's quality and this and that. And that's, you know, somewhat true, but what you gain over time is experience, and knowing that you are going to get blindsided, that things are going to come out of nowhere and hit you. And you can almost get to the point where you expect it, especially if it's not happened in a while. And as a result, when it does happen, you know how to handle it. Whereas somebody that's brand new to the recovery, brand new to the spiritual life, they're not going to recover quite as fast when those types of things happen. So there's definitely something to be said for, you know, experience. And again, you know, this is all around the idea of virtue and growing in virtue. And what virtue are we working on? Talked in the first segment today a little bit about that examine prayer. And I think it was Father Ripperger and other sources that I've listened or studied, and, you know, that talking about, you know, trying to focus on a particular virtue that we need to work on. And oftentimes that'll come up as a result of the examine prayer. You may find yourself that you're, whether it's habitual sin in a certain area or things that are bothering you in a certain area, and it's, you know, God pushing you towards a particular virtue that we need to work on, until we conquer all of them and really live lives of virtue. On the show Saints and Sinners, and talking about the saints, you know, the first thing that qualifies somebody to be a saint is that heroic virtue. I've been reading recently some of the material again about, you know, Matt Talbot, in a particular book by Sir Joseph McGlynn. It talks a little bit about the canonization process and how all the information is gathered, as much as they can about a particular person, things that they may have written, if they were authors, things that they said, things that they did. and looking to verify that they lived lives of heroic virtue, you know, not just average virtue and or what have you, but lives of heroic virtue. And if all of us are called to be saints, then all of us are called to live lives of heroic virtue. And so, you know, how many times during the course of a day do we think about virtues and what particular virtue we might be called to work on? I know which one I'm working on right now, and faring a little bit better than I have in the past. But what virtue are you working on today? Father Ripperger, who I love to listen to, you know, if you're not sure which one you're supposed to be working on, he recommends praying to Our Lady of Sorrows, and that she'll reveal it to you. Along those same lines, the things that may prevent you from growing in virtue might be unconfessed sins. And sometimes we get that blanket absolution. Perhaps we go to confession and we don't detail every single venial sin that we've committed. Or maybe there's sins that we've not recalled, especially if we've been away from the sacrament for a long time. It can be really hard to come up with every single sin that we've committed. And so Father Ripperger also recommends that we pray through the intercession of Our Lady of Sorrows to reveal those unconfessed sins that need to be cleaned up before we die. And so I've reincorporated the Seven Sorrows Rosary and the Litany of Our Lady of Sorrows back into my routine. And I forget who it was offhand, but there was a podcast I watched recently about how that's the irresistible novena, that when you pray the Seven Sorrows Rosary, including the Litany of Our Lady of Sorrows, pray it for 9 days, that it's irresistible for Our Lady and for God. So if there's something that we really need, as long as it would be in accordance with God's will, to maybe go ahead and try that novena. So, unfortunately, looks like Bob's not going to get back to us, which is okay. Hopefully that Bluetooth speaker, he learns how to turn it off before calling again. And because he was the only caller that you've had to listen to me ramble on now for this hour. Just a quick word on St. Francis of Assisi. Coming up this Friday is his feast day, and we have a Matt Talbot Secular Franciscan Fraternity that meets at Our House Ministries and the Matt Talbot Chapel on the first Monday of the month. Occasionally it gets moved because of Labor Day or 4th of July, but usually on the first Monday of the month they'll gather at 6 o'clock for Mass, and then they'll have their fraternity meeting. And this coming Saturday, October the 5th, a number of the fraternities here in the Philadelphia area are getting together, and they're going to have Mass at noontime at St. Gabriel's Church at 29th and Dickinson, followed by a lunch. And during lunch, there'll be presentations on what it means to be part of a Franciscan fraternity and, what the advantages of being a secular Franciscan could be. And, I'm definitely a Franciscan at heart. I try to live that poverty that Francis preached about, and to follow much of what I learned about him from my days of formation as a secular Franciscan. And so that Mass and lunch are open to every anybody and everybody. Again, that's this coming Saturday, October the 5th, St. Gabriel's Church, Mass at noon, and then a lunch across the street at the Annex building where the cafeteria is, where they'll talk a little bit about the secular Franciscan life. So, again, I want to thank all of my listeners for however long you've been able to be with us in the first hour. Our guest, Dan Burke, is already on the line for the 5 o'clock hour, and we'll get to him as soon as we come back. So we're going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.